Good morning. Welcome each of you to the Lord's house this morning. It's a joy to see each of you and to be able to worship in person once again. Thank you for your continued attention to our new normal of in-person worship for wearing face masks and physical distance and all that. Just a few reminders before we begin our service this morning. Please remember that we do record our services and put them on our website each week. We usually try to have it uploaded there by middle of the Sunday afternoon. And despite the fact that we aren't able to do a lot of things due to pandemic restrictions, we continue to see a significant need in our outreach ministries. Children still need school supplies and clothing, and our families have been coming to the food pantry with a much higher need than ever before due to furloughs and reduced hours and many businesses closing their doors. So please continue your giving to our very important outreach ministries and also just your regular giving so that we can continue to maintain our facilities and be prepared for that time that we can finally open ourselves to our normal levels of ministry once again. Please also note that during the time this morning that we would normally share the Lord's Prayer following our pastoral prayer, we won't be doing that today. Instead, Andrew will be singing the Lord's Prayer during that time. And lastly, at the end of our service, please do wait for the ushers to dismiss us row by row. We do this so that we can avoid getting bunched up as we make our way to the doors. So welcome again, folks, and thank you for your presence in the Lord's house this morning as we invite Andrew to lead our call to worship.
Good morning. Good morning. Please rise for the call to worship. Turn to the Lord and pray to him now that he is near.
Turn to the Lord, our God. He is merciful and forgiving.
Listen now, my people, and come to me, says God. Come to me, and you will have life. Let us sing our opening hymn, number 558, Savior, like a shepherd, lead us, all stanzas.
Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Much we need thy tender care. In thy pleasant pastures, feed us. For our use, thy folds prepare. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus. Thou hast brought us, thine we are. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus. Thou hast brought us, thine we are. We are thine, do thou befriend us. Be the guardian of our way. From sin defend us, seek us when we go astray. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, hear thy children when we pray. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus. Thy children when we pray. Early let us seek thy favor. Early let us do thy will. Blessed Lord and only Savior, with thy love our spirits fill. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, thou hast loved us still. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, thou hast loved us, love us still.
May we bow in a moment of prayer. O Lord, we are privileged and grateful to be gathered in person in your house this morning. We are thankful for this physical space, but most importantly for the fellowship of our brothers and sisters in Christ that we consider our church family. We thank you for our leadership and our music ministries, and we look forward to the day when we can once again welcome our children to participate in children's ministries. Comfort us during our times of stress and unknowns, and we seek now the living presence of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, through the gift of the Holy Spirit. It is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Seated.
Good morning, everyone. It's a joy to see you in the Lord's house this morning. As we have the privilege to go to God in prayer this new week, we want to lift up Arlita White, as she will be going to the North Kansas City Hospital on Wednesday of this week for a left knee replacement surgery. So, Bob, we hope that goes well for Arlita, don't we? As we know, we want it to go well for so many others in the midst of our congregation like yourself who've been dealing with this sort of thing in the last several weeks here. We want to lift up Doug and Gail Gentry. Doug will be going to see a couple of different doctors this week looking at this issue of a kind of a mass that's associated with one of his kidneys. Hopefully from those doctor's appointments he'll be able to ascertain what is going to be the pathway toward procedures to alleviate that issue for Doug. So please remember Doug and Gail in your prayers. Ted Gorman is making recovery now from that right carotid artery surgery last week, Kathy. So we pray that Ted continues to make good progress. Helen Kirby, and talking with her, that arthroscopic surgery on her right shoulder went well. And she's seeing some improvement even in the midst of that healing pain, as I call it. You know, there's a difference between pain and healing pain. We'll take the healing pain any day, right? And certainly we also want to lift up Dave and Ardith Haynes' nephew, whom we've been remembering for several weeks. It turns out he had to go back into an additional surgery this past week. He's now home, but he's also dealing with a staph infection. So just one complication after another. Certainly, there have been a number of other people whose names we've been remembering as we've gone through these many weeks, as you've been seeing from the prayer chain. But with all of these people upon our hearts, may we bow our heads before the Lord's presence this morning. Our loving God, for the privilege to assemble in your house of worship, we give you thanks. For here in your house, we receive assurance and guidance as we hear your word. Here in your house, we are inspired by the teachings of Christ our Lord and Savior. Here in your house, we are touched by the Holy Spirit's presence. Here in your house, the lifting up of songs of praise and touching base with fellow believers gives us but a glimpse of your great and eternal glory. For your great glory that shone forth in the face of Moses as he delivered the commandments from Mount Sinai, we give you thanks. For your great glory that shone forth through Christ during his transfiguration, we give you thanks. For your great glory that shone forth even as Christ appeared in his resurrected form to the apostles and other believers, we give you thanks. For your great glory revealed even as Christ our Lord ascended into the heavens, promising that he would one day return as he so departed, we give you thanks. And Paul, He even tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, that we believers are indeed those who reflect your glory, and for this privilege we give you thanks. For in these most challenging and uncertain times in which we daily face the tribulations of a pandemic, the depravity of an economic downturn, and the uncertainty of leadership, may all of us truly turn to you, O God, for through Christ we know we indeed not only have our Savior, but we have a great certainty of eternal salvation. In thanksgiving, we offer this prayer as Andrew offers in praise the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
Thank you, Andrew and Lenora. As we begin our time of communion, even though we cannot physically gather here at the Lord's table and partake of the communion emblems, may we share in our community reflection by turning to the bottom of your first inside page of your bulletin. Whenever we turn to face God as Moses did, God removes the veil, and there we are, face to face. We recognize that God is personally present, a living spirit with us. Our lives gradually becoming brighter and more beautiful as God enters our lives and we become like him. Our hymn of contemplation is number 479, number 479. We have heard a joyful sound. We'll sing stanzas 1 and 4.
We have heard a joyful sound. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Spread the gladness all around. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Bear the news to every land. Climb the steeps and cross the waves. Onward is our Lord's command. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Give the winds a mighty voice. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Let the nations now rejoice. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Shout salvation full and free. Highest hills and deepest caves. This our song of victory. Jesus saves, Jesus saves.
This is from 2 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, verses 13 through 18, and I'm going to read it from a version of the Bible called The Message, because I think it kind of gives us a clearer picture of what's going on in this particular text. Unlike Moses, we have nothing to hide. Everything is out in the open with us. He wore a veil so the children of Israel wouldn't notice that the glory was fading away. And they didn't notice. They didn't notice it then, and they don't notice it now. Don't notice that there's nothing left behind that veil. Even today, when the proclamations of the old bankrupt government are read out, they can't see through it. Only Christ can get rid of the old self so they can see for themselves that there's nothing there. Whenever, though, they turn to face God as Moses did, God removes the veil, and there they are, face to face. They suddenly recognize that God is a living personal presence, not a piece of chiseled stone. And when God is personally present, a living spirit, that old constricting legislation is recognized as obsolete. We're free, free of it, all of us. Nothing between us and God. Our faces shining with the brightness of His face. And so we are transfigured, much like the Messiah. Our lives gradually becoming brighter and more beautiful as God enters our lives and we become like Him. Isn't that just a wonderful phrase? Again, I read that last portion again. And so we are transfigured, much like the Messiah, our lives gradually becoming brighter and more beautiful as God enters our lives and we become like Him. May we bow our heads for a moment of prayer. Gracious and holy God, we're indeed grateful to once again be in your house among brothers and sisters in Christ. And although we know that still many are needing to stay home, we know your Spirit abides with each of them, and as they have the privilege and opportunity to listen to this message later today, we pray your blessing for each of them. And for we know that no matter where we may be, what we may be doing, as your Spirit abides within us, we are privileged to be called the family of God and to radiate your glory in all we do and say. It's in the name of Christ we give thanks. Amen. Have you ever wondered what it would be like to experience the glory of God? Now, what is that? What's the glory of God? I believe it's that profound joy and celebration to be in the presence of God. It's hard to put into words. And we get hints of the glory of God. One of the things I love about Andrew sharing his talents with us and So many others who have done the same through music. As music is a way that we lift up our spirits, our consciousness, our minds to the heavenly heights, right? Isn't that right? And that inspires us in such a wonderful way. That is like getting a hint of the glory of God, and that's why music has always been such a very precious part of worship through the centuries. As we look at the scriptures, we know that Mary experienced a glimpse of God's great glory through the archangel Gabriel as he stood before her and announced the coming birth of the Messiah. We know the shepherds in the fields of Bethlehem experienced a glimpse of God's great glory through the angelic host as the dark sky lit up with the great brilliance as they announced the birth of the Messiah. And at the Transfiguration, the apostles Peter, James, and John got a hint of God's glory, as Matthew chapter 17, verse 2 tells us, that Jesus' face shining like the sun, and his clothes were dazzling white. But what of the glory of God himself, rather than having someone who conveys that? What would it be like to really be in the presence of God's great glory? Well, we know for us that's going to happen in the eternal realm, is it not? And we look to that day. But as we look at the scriptures and strive to find somebody who may have had the opportunity to be up close and personal with God, who comes to mind most of all? Surely it is Moses, as the one human being in scripture who truly experienced on many occasions the closest proximity ever to the great glory of God's presence. Deuteronomy chapter 34, verse 10 declares, "There has never been a prophet in Israel like Moses. The Lord spoke with him face to face." And to emphasize this glory of God experienced by Moses, in today's text of 2 Corinthians, the third chapter, the Apostle Paul hearkens back to the story of Moses going up on Mount Sinai to receive the Ten Commandments, as Paul makes reference to the text of Exodus chapter 34. When Moses came down from Mount Sinai carrying the Ten Commandments, verse 29 tells us that his face was shining because he had been speaking with the Lord. Aaron and the others saw this and they were afraid to go near Moses. But verse 32 tells us that Moses gathered the Hebrew community around him, even as his face continued to glow from being in the presence of God's glory. And he conveyed to them the laws that the Lord had given him. And then when he finished speaking, he covered his face with a veil. Verses 34 and 35 state that whenever Moses went into the tent of the Lord's presence to speak to the Lord, he would take the veil off. When he came out, he would tell the people of Israel everything that he had been commanded to say, and they would see that his face was shining. Then he would put the veil back on until the next time he went to speak with the Lord in the tabernacle. We read this text and wonder, well, what's this business of a veil? Off while talking to God, off while conveying the word to the Hebrew people, but then on when he's finished speaking. Why? What Paul understands as he writes to the Corinthian Christians is that every time Moses was in the presence of God's great glory, Moses' face and countenance shone with the brilliance of God that was visible to the people. Surely this inspired them. Surely this encouraged them to want to follow the words conveyed from God. Yet in the interim periods between visits with God, that glowing brilliance would begin to fade. Moses covered his face so that the people wouldn't notice the brilliance fading, thus giving the people cause to become disinterested in God's glory or God's teachings. You know, I think we can kind of relate it to the notion that Everybody rallies around the home team when the team is winning, right? But by golly, once the team starts losing games, what happens? Ah, people, the stands start emptying out. You know, out in West Texas, where our football team did so well, in that little town of Albany, what I found striking is that, you know, they would make it right up to the state championship game time and time and time again for 1A football. But they hadn't won it since 1960-something. But what I noticed there is that they had such a winning streak every year, people would start leaving the game even when the team was winning. Because winning had become so ordinary. And when the score was broad, they just walk out, sometimes at halftime. Thinking, wait a minute, talk about people being fickle. You know, even when you're winning, your interest is fading away. That's why Moses put on the veil, so that people wouldn't see this glory of God fading, so that they could just say, Moses, you know, you're just an ordinary guy. I guess what you're saying really doesn't count after all. You see? Now, the Apostle Paul uses this story from Exodus 34 to reveal to the Corinthian Christians that there is no fading of the great glory of God as it is revealed in Jesus Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 13, Paul writes, "We are not like Moses, who had to put a veil over his face so that the people of Israel would not see the brightness fade and disappear." Paul goes on to say much more about the fading of that first covenant of the law, the Ten Commandments. But as Paul writes our key verse for this morning, our 3:16 series verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 3:16, Paul declares to the Corinthian Christians, as he wishes to declare to you and me today. The text says, "But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away." For Paul, turning to the Lord means turning one's full attention to Jesus Christ. It means pure and simply to repent, turn away from one's sin, and to willingly accept Christ as Lord and Savior. Paul is saying when one turns to Christ, repents, and accepts Christ as Savior, then the veil is taken away. But this veil isn't simply a device to cover one's face, as was the case with Moses. Paul believes that the veil for the Jewish people of his day was their unwillingness to experience Christ as the true Messiah they had been seeking. And for Christian believers in his day, and even for you and me today, Paul believes that the veil is that which keeps God hidden from us. For us, the veil is often our disbelief. For us, the veil is often our focus on the day-to-day troubles, our worries, our concerns that keep us from experiencing the fullness of God's great glory, the fullness of God's great peace and joy. Paul wants the Christian believers of his day, and for you and me today, to believe that in turning to Christ, Christ reveals to us His great glory in God's presence and how it can dwell within us. Time and time again in the Gospels, we see Jesus revealing the glory of God. Look at John chapter 1, verse 15. "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory," meaning we have seen God's glory, "glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." In John chapter 17, verses 4 and 5, at the close of the Lord's Supper, Jesus offers a prayer in the presence of the disciples in which he says, "To God, I have shown your glory on earth. I have finished the work you gave me to do. Father, give me glory in your presence now, the same glory I had with you before the world was ever made." And in Hebrews 1, verse 3, He, meaning Jesus, is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification of sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. As we turn to Christ, Paul then goes on to tell us that the glory of God has an avenue through us, through you and me, to be revealed to the world. And as a consequence, verse 18 really is a very most important verse of this particular chapter 3 of 2 Corinthians. As the verse says to us, all of us then reflect the glory of the Lord with uncovered faces. And that same glory coming from the Lord, who is the Spirit, transforms us into his likeness in an ever greater degree of glory. Paul's telling us in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 that as Christian believers, we don't need to search for the glory of God. Christ offers to us the glory of God. And then what is most wondrous is that every Christian believer gets the opportunity to be, through our living testimony, God's great glory. As we seek Christ, as we live Christ's ways, the glory of God shines through us. Have you ever known a person or people in your life that for you they really shone forth the glory of God? In other words, you just say of that person is such a godly person. And you say that because you just know in their demeanor, in their words, in their actions, it's just like you see God in action, right? When I was a hospital chaplain years ago, I once met a woman whose countenance was filled with the glory of godliness. She was living in a spare room in the hospital as she was caring not only for her husband, but also for a parent, both of whom were dying from terminal illnesses. And this was back in the 1980s, so there just wasn't as many treatments available then as there are now. The average person may have been distraught and filled with dismay, yet this woman had a countenance of peace and confidence as she put all her trust in God's living and loving presence. Her words were words from Scripture, words of praise and celebration to God, for she knew where her loved ones were destined. They were destined to the kingdom. And the glory of godliness shone through her countenance, her demeanor. Peace, confidence, and sheer joy surmounted any and all of life's tribulations. You know, you got to have a lot of sick folks in your family for a hospital to give you a room. And that was that case. But yet, here this woman, she just glowed with godliness in spite of the challenges that she faced every day. You see, this morning, we have added yet another verse to our 3:16 series, haven't we? We started out with John 3:16, then 1 John 3:16. We've been kind of marching our way through various books of the Bible. Now, here we are at 2 Corinthians 3:16. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. But even more importantly, not only is the veil of our disbelief taken away when we turn to Christ, but in Christ. Verse 18 tells us that we have the privilege to reflect the glory of God in what we do, what we say, and the very nature of who we are. Now, we're human. We may not do that as well as we like at times, but the Holy Spirit wants to guide and inspire us always, right? Think of it. Even in the midst of a pandemic, even in the midst of troubles economically, we still can march forward with the great witness that is the living testimony of God's great glory. And in so doing, may we offer hope to people with whom we share our lives as we step forward in the new week. Do you know Christ? If he's not your Lord and Savior, I welcome you to come forward and accept Christ. Or maybe you need a church family here at Berry Christian Church. I welcome you to consider becoming a part of our fellowship as we turn to our hymn of invitation there in your bulletin hymn flyer there. It's the number 559. We're going to sing stanzas 1 and 4 all the way, My Savior Leads Me.
All the way my Savior leads me, what have I to ask beside? Can I doubt his tender mercy, who through life has been my guide? Heavenly peace, divinest comfort, here by faith in him to dwell. For I know whate'er befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. For I know whate'er befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. All the way my Savior leads me, oh, the fullness of his love. Perfect rest to me is promised in my Father's house above. When my spirit, clothed immortal, wings its flight to realms of day, this my song through endless ages, Jesus led me all the way. This my song through endless ages, Jesus led me all the way.
Thank you for being in the Lord's house this morning, and we wish you the very best as you journey forward in the new week. May we offer a word of prayer. Gracious and holy God, for the privilege to be in your house, we give thanks. For the truth of your scripture, we give praise. And as we step forward with the task before us in this new week, we know your Holy Spirit will guide us, that we might be that living witness in all we do and say. And for this privilege, we give thanks as we depart. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. bless you. Good to see you. Thank you. Thank you so much. Great to see you this day. Yeah, he was kind of taken away. God bless you guys. Say hello to Kathy for me. Okay. I'm not sure. She's making some improvement.